Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week. So if you would, take your Bibles, join me in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to thumb through the Message on the Mount here in just a moment, but hold your place once you get to Matthew chapter 5, first gospel in the New Testament. I want to just tease a little bit of what will be our teaching series after Easter. In fact, we'll begin this on Easter Sunday morning. I plan out about a year in advance, but a few weeks ago, I just took the whole teaching series I had planned for after Easter, just scrapped it, and have decided to address one particular issue that is at play in our culture right now, and it is loneliness. Loneliness is lethal. We all know that. We are meant for community, but as many as 8 billion people on the planet now, many of them are lonely, and you might be lonely today as well. One of the books that I've been reading, and I won't endorse everything that the book represents, but I do like the bottom line philosophy of this. A man named Jeremy Nobel wrote a book called Project Unlonely. And as I was reading through this, a lot of stories, a lot of good quotes, just fantastic stuff. So I started reading this book, reading on audiobook. So as I exercise every day, I'm listening to this book. It was so good. I was like, I got to get a paper copy because there's so many good illustrations and quotes in this book. But I'm walking around the track one day, and it's talking about the effect social media is having on students. Social media is not connecting students. In fact, it's driving them apart. And there's lawsuits right now with social media companies. And in passing, the narrator goes, and Andy Birchfield, principal at Beasley Allen in Montgomery, Alabama, says this. And I continue to walk around the track, and I go, wait, seriously? And so I go back. Sure enough, on page 197, Andy Birchfield, who happens to be a friend of mine from when we lived in Montgomery, Alabama. And so Paula and I were friends with Andy and Tanya, and I came this close to missing it if I had not just for a moment been paying attention. And so the thought triggered with me, number one, I want you to know I know a lot of important people that are quoted in books. That's really what I want you to know. But what dawned on me was, if I had not been paying attention, I would have missed that. And how many things do I miss? How many people do I miss just because I'm not paying attention? Hold that thought for just a moment. So Matthew chapter 5. Next week, we'll finish up the Message on the Mount, but I want you to get the flow again, because Jesus talks about topics that we'll use in any given day in our life, and hopefully we should be using this every day of our lives. Jesus starts by talking about our character, right? The Beatitudes. This is the kind of character that God blesses. Don't care what anybody else in the world says. If you want to live a life under the blessing of God, you have to develop these character traits. We often call them the Beatitudes. Then Jesus moves from talking about character to talking about our influence. Use your character to positively influence the world around you. Then Jesus moves on from there to talk about a Christian's righteousness. And I could sum it up just like this. Don't be religious. Be real. It's not about having the outward appearance of obedience to God. It's about the inward reality, who you are to your very core. You are real before God, and you are real in front of other people. Then Jesus goes on from there and talks about the habits that we create. We are all a product of our habits, right? And so he says, generosity is a good habit. Prayer is a good habit. Self-control, these are all good habits to have. Then he moves on from there to talk about our ambition, to talk about our relationships, and finally where Jesus lands the Message on the Mount, and I would divide this into four sections. He ends the Message on the Mount in a very rabbinical fashion. In other words, rabbis in Jesus' day would always end with a challenge, saying, you've got two choices here. You've got two choices in this, and it kind of goes back to Psalm 1, where you choose the way of the righteous or the way of the wicked. So there's choices that we face, and Jesus lays out four of those choices as he nears the end. We're going to handle three of them today. The last one, the big one, the grand finale, we're going to handle next week. But this starts in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus gives a choice. Pay attention to what it is. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But narrow is the gate, small is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. With all three of these choices that Christ is about to lay out in front of us, here's what pulls them all together. Pay attention. Pay attention. And here, with this first choice, Jesus says, pay attention to where you are going. So just for a moment, pay attention. Where are you going in life? Is it where you want to go? Is it where you believe God wants you to go? There's a road that everyone takes, everyone says you should take, or there's a road that Christ says you should take. Are you on that road? Now, from this, I get a principle that I've shared with you many times before. If you face a big decision, if you've got a choice and you don't know exactly what to do, if one choice feels like a shortcut and it's the easy way out, don't go down that road. For some reason, the hardest thing to do is typically the right thing to do. And I believe that principle holds with what Jesus teaches here. But I also see something else at play, not only in doing the hard thing. I believe that as we get older, life should become simpler. That as we get older, instead of life becoming more complicated and more complex, a lot of those things slough off as we mature. And another way of saying this, if you're going to walk the narrow road, you need to travel light. In other words, if your life is still caked on with unforgiveness, you're carrying a heavy load down a narrow road. What would happen if you just slough that off? Many of you are still carrying around hatred toward God, disillusionment of things that have happened to you in the past. You can carry that around, but if you walk down the narrow road, that's going to get really heavy. Slough that off. In fact, here's what I believe. The more we mature in our faith, there's only a couple of things that we discover really matter anymore, and it would be something like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You want to travel light down the narrow road? That's exactly the way to do it. Another way of saying that is the most important issue this year is not the election in the fall. The most important issue right now and for always will be, are you learning to love God more? Are you learning to love others more? Are you even learning to love yourself? You who is made in the image of God. Where are you going? Pay attention. So that's one choice. Then Jesus continues, verse 15. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Again, pay attention. Pay attention to where you're going. And this one, pay attention to who you're paying attention to. Pay attention to who you're paying attention to. During our call to worship today, I showed you a picture. Paula and I were visiting in Dublin, Ireland a few weeks ago, took a picture inside the cathedral there. Well, we get ready to come back for our return trip to the States, and so we go to Dublin Airport, like an insanely early flight, 6 o'clock, so we had to get up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and make our way back to the airport. So as we did all the check-in and all the security, you know all that rigmarole that you go through, we finally got in to the airport, and we both said, we need a cup of coffee. So we find this little kiosk in the middle, and it's a coffee shop, chocolate shop right there in the middle, and we were in a pretty long queue. It's early in the morning. Everyone's buying coffee. Guy behind the counter is helping everyone. Then we get to the counter, and here's where I just need to pause for just a minute. It's kind of become a shtick for some pastors to talk about how hot their wives are and all that stuff. I'm not going to do that this morning. Okay. I'm just going to tell you that my wife is a genuinely beautiful woman, both on the outside and the inside, where it matters most. So we saddle up to the counter, and the guy behind the counter notices my beautiful wife. And he gets me my coffee, he gets her coffee, and he said, we're giving a free piece of chocolate to the nice people who come through line today. And he gave her a free piece of chocolate right in front of me. I'm like, dude, I'm standing right here. He's hitting on my wife at 6 o'clock in the morning, okay? So you know what I did? I took that piece of chocolate, I bit into it, and I go, thank you very much. No, I didn't do that. It's my wife's piece of chocolate. But I'm like, dude, you're creeping on my wife right here in the Dublin airport, right in front of me, okay? All that to say is, there are some bad people in the world, okay? Here's the nickname I gave him. I call him Dublin Chocolate Boy, is what his name. Just for the rest of the story, you know, it was a 26-hour trip home, just an insanely long time, and you know, you get fatigued when you travel, so my wife and I were a few times just having a interesting exchange with one another, and I would say, well, if you don't like it, there's always Dublin Chocolate Boy that you can go back and spend time with, and Dublin Chocolate Boy, listen, there's some dicey people in the world. Pay attention to who you pay attention to. In fact, we have a code here at this church. Anyone, everyone is welcome to this church unless you are a danger or a distraction. If you're going to prove to be a danger, you're not welcome here. If you're going to prove to distract people from focusing on worshiping God, studying the scripture, loving one another, you're not welcome here. I would encourage you to have the same code of conduct in your life. Anyone who's going to be a danger to you, don't let them in. Anyone who's going to distract you from loving God more and loving others more, don't let them into your life. Pay attention to who you're paying attention to. And here's how you evaluate that. Jesus says, look at the fruit. So you look at a tree, you can't tell what's going on underground. You can't tell what's happening behind the scenes. In fact, a Chinese bamboo, the first 5 years of its life, it'll look like it's dormant. But the roots are growing at an insane speed. So much so that about 5 years into it, a Chinese bamboo can grow up to 3 feet in a day. But it has the root system. But you can't see the roots. You can see the pretty leaves on people's life. Do they look nice? Are they charismatic? Are they, you know, all those things that we value in our culture. By the way, you know it takes the energy from 50 leaves on an apple tree to form one apple. You can't see the roots. Don't look at the leaves. Don't look how pretty they are. Look at the fruit of somebody's life. And I can make this really simple. Before you listen to somebody, you just take those first three fruit of the Spirit and say, do I see those in this person's life? Do I see them loving others well? Do others love them well enough to tell them the truth? Or are they egotistical? Do I see joy in a person's life? Listen, the world is sour enough without adding to it. I refuse to listen to somebody who doesn't have at least a modicum of joy. I don't even know what a modicum is, but it sounds right, you know. And don't listen to people who don't have peace in your life. There's enough cruelty, there's enough chaos in the world. Listen, and we could go on to the whole fruit of the Spirit, but if you don't see love, joy, and peace, why in the world would you listen to them? Because that's not what you need. And it's certainly not what Christ wants in your life. So pay attention to where you're going. And then pay attention to who you're paying attention to, because that will influence you. You've got a choice in that. And Jesus puts one more choice in front of us. And these are some of the scariest words that Jesus ever speaks, and I want to spend a little more time on these. Not everyone who says to me, verse 21 of Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Now, here's what I don't want to have happen today. I don't want you to take these words and doubt your salvation. I think there's something better that we can do with this, and I'll come to that in just a moment. But I want you to see the genius that Jesus presents for us here, because he gives us a choice in how we relate to God. And if you look at these words carefully, notice he says, you know what? You can choose superficiality if you want to. People who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do what I command them to do. In other words, faith is very superficial, it's surface level. During the communist era in the USSR, it was common for prisoners in prison to tattoo the face of Stalin or Lenin right over their heart. And it's not because the prisoners had a loyalty to those two communist leaders, it's because it was illegal in the communist regime to deface the faces of Stalin and Lenin. So by tattooing over their heart, they made sure that no one ever punched them or shot them through the heart. Okay. In other words, they just had the face there for protection. I think it's easy to stencil the name of Christ over our lives because we want the protection, we want the blessing, and oh, we'd like heaven after we die. But it's just superficial. Jesus also says you need to make sure, just like you're being superficial, be careful about just being showy with your faith. Lord, Lord, in your name did we not drive out demons and perform miracles? So we need to be careful of a faith that we have the way we live on Sunday. We talk a good game. Maybe even we're generous to the church. We let others know that. We might even teach in children's or community group, right? And we're real showy with our faith. But the other 6 days of the week, I know I'm really in charge. And I live two very different lives. Jesus says, that's the way you can choose. You can choose a very showy or a very superficial relationship. Or here's the other road, and it's the one that I hope we all choose. But I can only choose it for me. To be sincere. That the word Lord actually means what it's supposed to mean. That I'm going to try to live my life in such a way, in total commitment to Christ, that reflects everything that Jesus has taught in the Gospels, but especially the message on the Mount. My character belongs to Him. My influence belongs to Him. My righteousness is because of Him. My habits are formed by Him. My relationships are defined by Him. My ambitions are spoken for by Him. Everything about me belongs to Him because that's what the word Lord really means. Ray Bradbury, when he wrote Fahrenheit 451, if you've never read that sci-fi novel, read it. It's fantastic. He was so poor, he couldn't afford a typewriter. So he went to the UCLA library back in the day, and in the basement, they had typewriters. This was back when people were still typing on stone tablets. Yeah. So he would go to the typewriter, and you fed it with coins, so 10 cents a minute would get him 30 minutes. He'd type on that typewriter, and then he'd put another dime in. To write Fahrenheit 451, it cost him $9.80. You know, I think it paid for itself over the years, right? He knew the value of a word. Well, there's one word that is absolutely priceless. And when we really mean it, it does change eternity. And it's the word Lord. Don't just say it. Mean it. That's the choice. So I want to offer something to you that I've never done in 30 years of ministry, and I just sense it's time. And I know there may be some in this room, once you hear this, you may have a theological concern about this, and I'll try to remember to deal with that here at the end. But I'd rather deal with the opportunities rather than the challenges. I've had several conversations with people as we've been working through the Message on the Mount, saying, you know what, I need to recommit myself to the Lord, to really following Him. Maybe you've been through some tragedies here in the recent years. Maybe you've drifted from the Lord and you've come back. Maybe you were saved as a young person, but you drifted away a long time, and now you've come back, and maybe, just to sum all this up, maybe you just sense that you need to recommit yourself to the Lord. So here's what I want to put on the table in front of you today. Next week, the week, Holy Week, the week before Easter, I want to make the offer for you. If you have been baptized before, but you want to have a recommitment of sorts, I want you to know that we're going to open up. this church, it'll be open all during Holy Week. We're going to have this baptistry out here in the corridor. I'm clearing my schedule that entire week. If you want to set a time for you to come by, can be by yourself, I'd prefer you have a couple people with you, and just recommit yourself to the Lord through baptism. Now, this is not something you need to do. Every 10 years, I commemorate the 10th anniversary of my baptism. I was baptized on October 8th, 1978. And every 10 years, I just have a simple baptism of recommitment, right? Maybe you sense it's time for you to do that very thing. And there's a touch of history here. Because in the ancient church, they would baptize only on Easter Sunday. And all the people who had been preparing all year long would be baptized on that one day. And it was a time of them starting their relationship with Christ on Resurrection Sunday. Well, we're going to take all week to do that. If you want to come by and have a simple baptism of recommitment, the invitation is open. Not to get into the weeds, but on your announcement sheet this morning, right in the middle, just a little note about recommitment. You contact my assistant, you drop an email to Nancy, I will meet you in the corridor, and you can recommit yourself to really calling Christ Lord. Let me add another part to this. Maybe you have committed to follow Christ and you have never been baptized. What a great opportunity. And I would insist you have some witnesses around you for that. If you've never been baptized, this is the opportunity for you in front of others to say Jesus is Lord and really mean it. I'm clearing my calendar. Now, this is not for everybody. If you know where you are with the Lord and you feel good about that relationship, you don't need to do this. But if you're sensing that stirring, take advantage of this. I do want to handle one little note, just because it might save me some emails this week. Is this okay to do something like this? You know, in the Bible it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, I know every time I go to the Jordan River, I give the opportunity for people to come and be baptized where Jesus is baptized. It's a simple act of recommitment. And if you have a concern with this, then please don't do this. But here's what I do know. I know there are worse things that you can do in your life than to recommit yourself to the Lord. And we're just going to use the water as a simple symbol of saying yes sincerely to the Lordship of Christ. So the way I see it, we have some choices in front of us. We have to choose where we're going in life. Are you on the road Jesus wants you to be on? We have to pay attention to who we're paying attention to. We are more easily influenced than what we like to think. Are you paying attention to those who are paying attention to God? Would be another way of saying that. And then pay attention not only to where you're going and who you're paying attention to, pay attention to who you're becoming. Are you becoming a person who's just shallow or a person who's just showy? Or do you long to become a person who is truly sincere in every part of their lives, including and above all, calling Christ Lord? Let's stand together and let's pray together. So Jesus, I want to take that last thing that you taught about lordship and just say we look around and there's a lot of shallowness in our culture. People saying what others want to hear. And it seems like everyone's trying to sell something. And I think we would deceive ourselves to say that shallowness doesn't find its way into our lives as well. But that's not who you've called us to be. We also live in a day of showy celebrity behavior. Everyone wants to be the next big deal. And we would be false to say that that doesn't sometimes find its way into our lives as well. But God, you've not called us to be shallow. Your great will for us is not that we be showy or spectacular or sensational. Your greatest call in our lives is that we would be sincere and real before you. So help us to pay attention and to not miss that one word that literally is worth all of eternity, that word, Lord. Help us to pay attention to what you're saying, to where you're leading, and who we're becoming. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.